Oh, yes. Oh, I can believe it, Bobby.
I believe it, man.
You know, I'm in the year I want to do a podcast with all the comic in Montreal, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, by the way, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the NoBS with SB. But, you know, if you never start...
You gotta do it. Yeah, you gotta jump and do it. Yeah.
So it's raw, it's not perfect, but who cares? You know why? Because people said, you should put music...
No,
you
should put the raw is better.
But you know, the star is you.
So, yeah, so I appreciate
you're
it.
The music.
You're the star of my eyes.
No, it's true. Because you have a great story.
Yeah, thank you. That's all right, yeah.
Because you were a bartender before to be a comedian.
Yes, I was a bartender like 15 years. And like the first time I ever did stand-up comedy was in high school. I did like 15 years ago to like a talent show. And then I started being a busboy like a month later. So I was always a bartender and a busboy. And I just did a one-man show.
Okay.
About the two, and I had like a bar on the stage, so I just like bartend and like combine the two together.
Okay, so you full time bartender 15 years, but part time comedian.
Yeah, I've been doing stand up, really doing stand up for 10 years. Started exactly like 10 years ago.
Full time?
Yeah, not full time, but like I started and went to the Jimbo's Comedy Works. It's been 10 years of that whole
in Montreal,
journey. Montreal, Toronto, going back and forth a lot.
So full time, you would say how long?
Three, four years, maybe. I think so.
Full time. You just think about that.
Yes.
You don't do anything else.
Yeah. No. But I also work for Chrysler. I'm gonna get to use my
stand-up skills. Oh yeah, I saw that.
And I'm the representative for Chrysler.
I'm gonna put the link.
Yeah, sure,
oh my
funny.
God. So welcome to this is a beautiful Jeep.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my, you're good,
of course, I'm the best.
Because you have to talk from nobody care.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an open mic.
Sometimes there's like 200 people. There's a big muscle car, like 800 horsepower. It's packed, and then like an hour later is one person, and you gotta keep doing it like all crazy.
Yeah, and you're good.
Yeah, I try my best.
So where did you get this gig?
I was living in Toronto as a comedian. I quit my job.
Okay.
Working as a waiter, I quit my job in like December before the Christmas holidays. I go back to my house in Toronto after the visiting here. I had no job. I handed out a bunch of resumes to agencies. I signed up with an agency. And then that day, they sent me to this lady down the street. They're like, go see this lady. Ask for this lady named Sina. She books everybody. She books the talent for all the car shows.
Okay.
So I'm like, perfect. I go. I sign up with her. She gives me a script for the Dodge Challenger, the big like muscle car, 800 horsepower. And she made me improv the script with a Toyota van. And she liked me. And then that was it. That's like 5 years of that now.
No, you did not make an audition for the or.
No, I did. I would no. She kept making audition like 10 times. Like,
because
I was first a bit too loose, but she wanted me more like the announcer voice and.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The movement around the car.
Exactly. I'd get more comfortable.
But why? Is it the money?
Yeah, like the money's cool, but it's also good that you get to travel.
So and you like travel?
Yeah, because then I can they fly me to Alberta. I go to BC and I get to do stand up comedy.
Okay.
On the road and they're paying for it.
Oh.
So that's the best part. I get to see the whole country. I've been back and forth 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is why you stay in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
Because comedy doesn't pay.
No, exactly. Not yet, and it's slowly getting better.
So yeah. So you have a side of the feeling of to be a comedian because.
Yeah.
You always talk with the people.
Yeah, of course.
And you have to sell the car.
Yeah.
You have to show the car
the best. And you get to be animated, and it's all a practice because it's 12 hours a shift, and you start 10 in the morning to 10 at night.
Okay.
So you do a speech every hour.
Every hour?
12 hours a day, sometimes two cars, so 24 speeches a day.
No way.
So it's like training to practice for your voice and like presence. And so it's like, even though I'm not telling any jokes, you're working on everything but the jokes.
It's why you're comfortable on stage.
Yeah, sometimes.
Every time I saw you, you're like, hey,
whatever,
I'm on the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
Where's my cola, pina colada?
Yeah, totally.
And bartender too, it's like,
yeah, you have to be like,
you know?
Yeah.
So you never, shy is not your problem in your life.
No, but it was. When I was a kid, I was like very shy. But like not shy, like I was nervous to talk. I was always like fascinated by everybody else. Like even now, when I go to a party with like normal people, no comedians, I'm just hanging out,
low profile.
Yeah.
But so why you need this attention?
I have no idea. I just like I like performing. I like writing the jokes. I like the craft of it, and like improving at it. And I like you know.
So but when did you realize? I need
school,
attention.
In school, in elementary school, for sure. Okay. I was always like picked on a little bit.
Theater, improv?
Yeah, I did acting classes. In high school, I was in acting, improv, monologue, debating.
So when did you realize, okay, I want to be a comedian?
Do you remember? I think I remember my parents, my aunts and uncles watching Eddie Murphy, Delirious. and everyone's laughing, and I didn't see my, never saw my parents all laugh at that, and I just liked it. And I'm like, I like that. I was always the class clown too. I like giving.
You have brother, sister?
I have a younger sister.
So you make on the table when you eat, you try to make people laugh?
Yeah, always. It's school too. I was always like causing trouble to get attention and make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you make a choice or comedy arrive in your life?
I knew it. Like I just.
You knew it?
Yeah, I think I knew it from like.
But
10 years
how old are you?
32.
So 32, when you're young, we don't have any. It's not like now. Like,
no.
Everybody know how to be a comedian.
Yeah, it's
but
like, how do you know? We have no idea. Yeah.
Exactly. So when did you said, you know what, I'm going to try to go on stage?
So I was dating this girl. I was like 20 years old. We were like dating over the summer, like a summertime fling.
With the pina colada?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, we used to drink all the time. And so we kind of knew each other from a group of friends, and her father used to do stand-up comedy.
He would way.
He would do it like every week. I'll tell you who he is after. I won't say his name now.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't matter. But he would do it every single week.
Okay.
And then I would go and hang out with her and I would see him. And I'm like, fuck,
so
I can
you
do
have
it.
In around you a professional comedian?
No, he had like just started. He went to the Joy Elias comedy school. So
okay.
he basically started 2 months before me. But I saw him and doing it every single week. Every like Wednesday I would see him at the Comedy Nest and Monday at Comedy Works. And then after like 2 months of watching him, like, I could do this. I've been wanting to do it now 10 years. If he could do it, I'm going to do it. And
yeah, not Eddie Murphy. If he can do it, I can do it. But the guy.
Yeah, the guy's a normal guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him. He's improving the jokes. And sometimes it just works. Sometimes it doesn't. It, you know, you see like the improvement and like the work.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this girl broke up with me. She started dating another comedian.
No way.
And then I told her I wanted to try it, but she never believed me. And I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna do this. I called, it was like Sunday afternoon, I'm all sad, she broke up with me. I called the Comedy Works. It was Stephen Levesque, he answered the phone. He's like, you called on the wrong day. Call tomorrow, I'm like, okay. Then the week later, I started my first open mic.
Okay, so do you remember the year?
2010. 2009.
So the day before, how did you feel?
Oh, nervous. So
oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Did you have something? You pretend
I'm
gonna be funny on stage.
I think I had at this point a few ideas because I was like.
So nothing you didn't.
I had like a few stories.
Do you remember?
I had a joke about dating a girl that had a lazy eye, and I forgot how it even went. I don't even remember the jokes now. And I think I had a joke about Bill Cosby, which is like crazy enough. I was used to be really good at doing a Bill Cosby impression, but now I'm like, I can't do that anymore. I'm good, I'm gonna throw that one away.
Did you bring fans to be sure to not bombing?
I think I brought two of my friends.
Okay.
Two of my friends, but what's funny now, my ex-girlfriend at that point, her father is still doing comedy, so now like I would see her every week,
okay.
And it was like, competition, not competition, but it kind of made me want to do better because I wanted to like rub it in her face. Like, look how
you say, what?
Yeah.
You made a mistake.
You made
a mistake,
exactly.
But okay, so you stressed the day before.
Yeah.
You go there.
Yeah.
It was the first time you go at the
Comedy
Awards?
Yeah, I go there, I get on stage. Mike Mayo was the host.
Mike Mayo was the host?
Yeah,
okay, he's still in the business.
Yeah.
But what? You were first, second, remember?
I think I was like the middle. They put me like seventh. Like, they knew it was my first time.
Okay.
So I get on stage.
My male host.
Yeah. I had a piece of paper on like on the stool.
Okay.
And like, I remember like as soon as I started talking, I'm like, okay, I'm good. This is it. And I'm
you know,
sold. I know right away.
But not before.
No. Before I was nervous. I'm like, what's good?
Not because you saw like four before you bombing.
Yeah.
And did you feel it for them?
Kind of.
Like, empathy?
Yeah, of course. I'm like, what am I
saying? Oh my God, me too, I'm going to bomb.
What, yeah, you don't know.
How many people in the crowd? Was jam-packed?
No, I think maybe, let's say 20 people.
Okay, open mic Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like half full everywhere around.
And do you remember the headliner or the big star at the time? Because they always put a guy at
the
end.
I wonder who it was. I wish I could remember. Maybe Deanne Smith.
Okay.
You've been Deanne Smith, maybe.
So you're on stage.
David Pride, you're gonna be around.
Yeah,
You're
on stage.
Yeah.
You know already it's for you.
Yeah.
But you don't care if you're not funny.
No.
Because you saw people before.
And it's just exciting that I'm doing it. Like, I don't care how it goes. Like, it's going good enough. It's going better than I thought.
So for you, it's not a black hole. You remember everything.
Yeah.
The feeling, the way you are, the people,
yeah.
The reaction. Because sometimes when we start, it's for me. I don't remember, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Because I was too stressed. And the black light.
Yeah, you can't see anything.
Exactly.
I didn't even realize that was a thing. Until you get on stage, you don't realize you can't see anything almost.
And did you see the red light when you said Get Out?
Yeah, I saw that. Because I remember because I went a few weeks before, so I knew. I learned the tricks, I was watching.
Okay.
And even when I started, even if I wasn't booked, I would go to every open mic.
So
to learn and hang out with Jimbo and talk with Jimbo.
Yeah, yeah. Get out on stage. Your two friends, what they said to you?
They were laughing. They thought it was funny.
Said it's for you.
Yeah, I think so. They were
so
just,
when is the next time after that?
That I went back.
Yeah.
I probably went maybe 2 weeks later.
Okay.
And then that one, I was like, okay, now I'm Eddie Murphy now. I'm the star. I'm a natural. This is crazy. And then I bombed, but it was good. It went bad. It went so bad compared to the first one. Then it kind of like, it was like, hey, do you still want to do this? I'm like, yeah. Now I know both feelings. I know what goes when it's good and when it's bad.
And you realize the paper on the side's not good.
No.
You have to know by art stuff.
And it was on, there was a fan, so that the fan blew the paper away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck that, no more notes.
But so how long did you just pretend you're a comedian? Because sometimes, because me, if I go back, at the time when I thought I was coming in, I was not a comedian.
Yeah,
I was a poser, you know what I mean?
Like,
I have a snowboard, I don't use it.
Yeah, but you have it.
But look at that, I'm beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm my picture on Facebook, it's me with a mic, you know? And I said, I'm a comedian, but I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, how long did you realize, no, if I want to be very good, if I want to be a professional, if I want to pay my rent, how long did you took?
I feel like after maybe 2 years, 2-3 years, I realized I need to really, really put this, I need to make more sacrifice, we'll really do it.
So like, how many show a year?
I was trying to do, I remember at one point I was doing every single Monday at Comedy Works. Jimbo just liked me.
Wow.
Every single Monday, but he refused to ever let me showcase.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you're not ready.
It was very tough, but.
Yeah, it was old school.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
No smile, no, you just said,
yeah.
And he was like, you're amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So he liked me enough just for the Mondays. I probably would do 2 a week, if I got lucky, 2-3. Yeah.
2 a week for 3 years.
Yeah, but then I have no idea what I'm doing.
Okay,
you know what I mean? And then my jokes are all basic.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I got the idea to move to Toronto and then really step up the game.
So you're from Montreal.
Yes.
After 3 years of part-time comedian, you see, who said to you should go to Toronto? Is it you or
me?
A girlfriend?
No, a girlfriend was the opposite. She's like, no, you need to stay. You don't want,
You have a girlfriend at the time when you moved to Toronto?
Yeah, she stayed here and I went there. Yeah,
so, bad move.
Yeah.
Annie, I love you so much.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you make money with comedy? No.
No, just practicing. I'm getting better, I promise. Yeah. But yeah,
so do you move to Toronto?
Yeah.
Where did you live there?
In the beaches.
It's
right next to Scarborough. I guess right southeast.
Downtown? This is here?
Yeah, and then you're going to go to the beach all day. You have to feel like you're
in California.
He's
a beach guy.
Of course.
Yeah, with the pina colada.
Of course.
I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
Two pina colada guys.
Yeah, I love it.
You really? So, who knows, maybe? If you want it, we're gonna call it. it's a great place. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
So you go there,
but
you chill.
Yeah.
Did you focus on comedy?
Yeah, of course. Because then I get there, I don't know anybody who isn't a comedian. I already had a bunch of comedian friends, so that was cool. And I went from being a bartender, my family, my friends, comedy here and there, to go there, and it's only stand up.
No bartender.
No, I did nothing for it. I'm it's gonna work. I'm just gonna try. And, I had some savings.
Okay.
I thought maybe I'm gonna go there, make some money, survive. You know.
Yeah. Continue.
And then. When you go there, you don't know anybody who isn't a comedian, it's become absorbed. Every night, if I didn't go out at night to go to a comedy show, I didn't talk to anybody all day. I need to get out. I had no job, so I had to go every single night to a comedy show to meet people.
Where did you go?
I would always go Underground Cafe, Vapor Central, Mike Rita, I always would be up at Vapor Central, everywhere. So go to
Yuck Yucks or Absolute?
Yeah, then I started doing more Absolute. I do a Yuck Yucks here and there, but I kind of went on, Absolute kind of took me first, so I just stuck with them.
Okay.
But I would go to Vape on the Lake. Vape on the Lake was a weed room where you could smoke weed.
Whoa.
So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was there every show. Whether I was booked or not, you go there, you hang out.
It's 2014.
Yeah, exactly.
You said start at 2010.
Yeah, it's 2010.
3 years here.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long you stay in Toronto?
3 years.
So 3 years and full time, you said.
Pretty much, and then then I would get a job here and there for a few months, quit.
Okay.
And then I'd get a good job, and I got the car show stuff.
Okay, it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
The comedy bar. Did you do the comedy bar?
Yeah, here and there, all the open mics every Tuesday. That's the first time where I learned you have to put your name in a bucket at 11:30 at night, and you're waiting until 2 a.m.
Oh yeah.
Get your name pulled out of the bucket. Yeah, you're do you want to do this or not? And then you slowly move up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so tonight you're at the Grumpy.
Oh, tonight I can't wait to go to Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the real, that's my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite place to perform.
No, man, when you understand, we're going to talk about that later, but the way to when you start to understand the concept of to be a comedian, bombing, it's not a problem anymore.
No.
It's the way. It's the step. It's the... The
it's
road,
of, yeah, exactly.
The process.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Of course. Like I just did the Fringe Festival.
And yeah. This is great too. We're gonna talk about that
sure.
Because this is great Fringe Festival. So after 3 years, why you decide to come back to Montreal?
It was crazy. I was working. I got a job with a bunch of other comedians as a courier. I was a courier, so like this company would pay us cash. Would give us like $150 a day. And pay us under the table, and just big boxes around, drive down from like downtown Toronto to like North York, whatever, do all these deliveries. And then I parked at work one day, and I parked at it's when I started this job, you're allowed to park there. They would load up, I have a little Fiat 500, so they'd jam pack my little hatchback full of boxes. In a few months' time, that parking spot became an illegal parking spot. You weren't allowed to park there. I would park there one day, a parking enforcement officer comes, he starts giving me shit, he's yelling at me. And I'm Greek, so I'm like, he's yelling at me, I'm gonna yell right back. I start screaming at the guy, we're getting into a fight. He smashed my car window, I get out of the car, we get into a fight.
The cop?
No, he was a police guy. No, he's a parking enforcement guy.
He broke your...
Yeah, he punched it, he didn't break it, but he punched it, so I lose my mind. I go super Greek on him. I come out, we're getting into a fight, I pushed him.
Physically?
No, just like I thought he was gonna come up and push me, so I pushed him like quickly and went back in my car. The cop, then the real police come, handcuffs, I'm like, this is crazy. I'm in the back of a cop car, people are taking pictures of me, I'm like, this is, how did this happen? And then, so I got in trouble, I ran out of money, and then I came back, and I need to come home and came back to Montreal. That was like 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
For parking?
Yeah, it was a $150 ticket to be parked there. Now, that's the exact amount of money I was making all day, and I worked all day. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was the week before Christmas too.
So you said it's enough.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'm like, yeah.
But it's not because of that. It's
too frustrating.
The end.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you are in the process of maybe to come back here.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, this it was like, okay, thing. It's enough.
Yeah,
it's enough. So you came back in 2015. So where did you live with your parents?
At this point, my ex-girlfriend actually moved to Toronto a little bit. Then we came back together. We lived together for a few years.
Okay.
And then went back to my old job where I used to work before I left for Toronto.
Okay.
I got that old job back. And it was a completely different, and my show is a lot about that, though, that job.
Yeah.
And then we dated a few more years, and then we kind of went our separate ways, me and my ex-girlfriend, and then I went back to Toronto for a few months to live with Massimo, our good friend Massimo.
Yeah, I love Massimo.
Yeah, so we lived together.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, it's the best. I got to see him naked every day, chest hair, getting dressed for work.
With his scotch.
Yeah, exactly. Smoking cigarettes, the best.
Yeah.
And then our lease was up, and then we're both like, thinking about coming back, we came back to Nahura.
Do you still live with him?
No. He lived with his parents, I'm with my parents, and actually, it's funny, tomorrow I move back to Toronto.
No way!
Yeah!
My God, you love to move, eh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man. You came back in 2016, right?
Yeah.
So you stayed two...
I came like 2 years ago, yeah. I think so, yeah.
So I never saw you.
I was... that's the thing, then at one point I became like too depressed to do all... I worked at the job, when you bartend, at night, you can't perform every night. So I would do like Monday, Tuesday, Comedy Works and Grumpy's, and then the weekend, you never see me.
No, and it's not just like, it's like you make $300 a night, $400,
$200. Yeah, exactly, you make good
money. You're drunk.
Yeah.
You don't want to go and open mic the day after.
No.
For nothing.
You're tired, every night in the bar.
And you convince yourself it doesn't matter, I'm good.
And then
So what, so okay, so many play, I want to go, but.
Yeah, sure.
So why you go back to Toronto?
I'm going back now, so I got like another little job offer for the car stuff.
Okay.
And I want to go back just to like do more stand-up. And like before more and do more shows.
You think here is not enough? Not enough place to do stand-up?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think I want to try to do a bit more, try something new, because I want to like do something that makes me like scared a little bit to improve myself.
Yeah, so if you're here full time, how many shows you can do a week?
Well, lately it's been very good. But I could probably do maybe three, four.
Sure.
Some weeks, like last week I did 13.
Whoa. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah,
It's why you're here, because I saw you everywhere saying, what's happened with you?
Yeah.
And you said I'm going to be at the Fringe Festival.
Yes, I did that.
And Toronto. If you live in Toronto in 1 week, how many shows
you can do? You could do easily like three a night.
Three a night.
And that sometimes like there's like comedians that I've seen on television when I was a child, and they're there.
Yeah, I know.
And now you gotta like really like step your game. You can't just wing it. You can't like whatever. I'll bomb. Who cares?
I lived 2 years. Did you know that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you're right. It's I work.
Yeah,
work. The problem for me was not money there.
Yeah. Because it's good for work, but you got to travel to make money.
Exactly.
But it's good to be there to train and get better.
Exactly.
But you need to go to the small towns around Toronto or anywhere. In Canada, you have to go to a small town where there's nothing to do.
Exactly.
So the whole town comes to see you every Friday night and then you go home.
So you stay for the summer here?
No, I'm probably going to come back for Just for Laughs. And then I'm going to go to Toronto. But now I'm not going to
live with someone else or alone?
I'm going to live with three other comedians.
Whoa, this is good.
Yeah.
But it's fun. You know what? What I love, every time I listen to you, it's you're not scared to show how you struggle.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, and you smile.
Yeah, it's the best.
And this is
that whole show.
This is the key. No. I'm not sarcastic,
it's
by
true,
the way. Okay,
yeah.
Because people can pretend that I'm not.
Yeah, I believe
because for struggling, it's better than stopping.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, give up. Or struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling, by the way, it's just for people who do nothing, sitting on the couch and judging others.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because struggling, for me, it's never give up, focus.
Yeah.
Just to say, you know what, I'm not on the good path. Because you know what, maybe this guy moved to Toronto soon and meet Russell Peters and want to do my first act.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know where you're going to go.
Yeah.
You never know who you're going to meet until if you quit.
You never know.
You know? It's why
it's true.
It's why I'm happy to have this discussion with you.
Thanks, man.
Because this is the goal, to know no BS with SBC.
Yeah.
People think it's comedy is easy. Comedy it's make money. No, comedy is always painful.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes we have fun.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So your attitude is the best.
Thanks.
Because I think I prefer a guy like you with the best. I don't say you're not funny, by the way. A best attitude, not funny, than a guy funny with a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Or you are funny and you have a good attitude.
Oh, perfect. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, of course. Because I think if I didn't take the chance to move to Toronto, I would not have got that car job.
Yeah.
And if I didn't get that car job, I've been to Vancouver like 5 times.
You live in Vancouver?
I went 5 times for work.
Yeah.
And someone paid for me to fly to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. If I stayed in Montreal and that old job, that none of that would have happened. No one would have paid me to go to Vancouver to be a bartender.
Yeah.
To be a comedian, but it happens. That's by chance.
And the fun part with your tour, it's the Express of Time. All right. Yes, thank you so much. Whoa, we have upgrades.
Yeah.
Look at that body. You like it?
Of course, thank you.
The fun part with you, you have tool.
Yeah.
In your backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
Because bartender, you can do that everywhere.
Yeah, of course. You get a job.
The job.
The car thing. The presenter. Yeah.
Nobody want to do that or can do that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to put the link. Wow,
yeah.
Me, trust me, I would not be able to do that.
One time I did it at a comedy show. Mike Greta did a show at the Weed Room, everyone is stoned. And after my set, by the way, he's also the Dodge Challenger presenter.
No.
And then they came back on and I did the whole speech.
Can you do it for fun? Just for
I don't remember how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, please gather around and let me introduce to you the all new 2019 Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye. The quickest, the fastest, and the most powerful muscle car. Built right here, proudly in Canada.
Bravo, man. I could do the girl, you
know? Of course. Yeah.
Soon enough, at the same time you talk, man.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers,
man.
For your great journey, man.
Thanks, man.
And so Vancouver, I went there to Vancouver.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's very expensive.
Yeah, big time. But it's crazy. You go there and you're still in Canada. You feel like you're so far away. Everything's different. But
I'm a little bit jealous about your next trip because you're gonna live with 3 other comics.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's comedy all the time,
exactly.
No matter what, full time, and this and it's cheap.
Yeah, of course. You're four guys.
Where are you gonna live?
The Annex, which is like Bathurst and Dupont. It's near this Casa Loma. It's a beautiful castle.
Okay.
With LED lights and stuff.
And Massimo's gonna be in the.
No, Massimo, I think is moving to New York.
No way!
Yeah, I'm moving with Marito Lopez, Marito Antonio Lopez.
Is it something you would like to do someday in New York?
New York, yeah, I would love to.
So So why you don't do it right away?
I don't know. I want to try. I need to get like a visa, but I also want to get a visa through the Chrysler thing. Maybe they give me a better visa than for stand-up, because it's gonna be easier for me to get the green card and stuff if I tell them it's to work for Chrysler. It's a big
yeah.
So I'm gonna try to do that through that instead of through comedy, and then I want to go to New York. I want to go everywhere. I want to go to LA.
Did you know I went there?
Of course. I know you went to the comedy store. That's what I want to go. I want to go there.
I have the opportunity because I have another YouTube channel, and a producer saw me.
Yeah.
And he decided to book me a big tour. I said, no. I'm going with my girlfriend, yeah, and my two dogs, and I drove.
Yeah, oh fuck, yeah.
So it, because it was like Colorado, Salt Lake City, Reno. I said, no. So I took Sacramento, I headlined at the Punchline Sacramento.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I headlined at the Cobb San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, 7 years ago I learned English.
Yeah, because and now you're headlining about that. Club. That's crazy.
And I remember I'm on stage in Sacramento, Punchline, Cobb San Francisco, and like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And they laugh. And they understand.
Yeah.
Goosebump, man.
Yeah, of course. Know? Someone's paying money for you to be there. It's
exactly
crazy.
So
you took a chance.
You know, and if I was listening, everybody would tell me it's impossible, you know.
Yeah, you never take the chance.
Exactly.
You never go.
So it's another reason why we do that, the podcast.
Of course.
You know, people, they complain all the time. But what did you do?
Exactly. What did you do?
Why are you jealous about John Maranas, you know?
Yeah.
You work hard. You try. You hustling.
Yeah.
He said, sacrifices. Doesn't work, I'm going to move. Doesn't work there?
I like being a nomad. Because when you're a comedian, you're not on the same rhythm of life.
No,
you're not
like
9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Exactly. There's no Monday to Friday. It's every day, it's whatever.
Exactly.
So you can do whatever you want.
So let's talk about your amazing French festival.
Yeah.
Is it done for you?
Yeah, it finished on Sunday.
So how many shows you made?
I did six.
Six shows?
Yeah.
Tell us the concept, because
it was called Cocktails and Dreams. And I got that from one of my favorite movies. The movie that wanted me to inspired me to become a comedian was Cocktail with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And the movie, his bar is called Cocktails and Dreams, and it has like a nice logo.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love this movie.
Yeah. And then I have there's a girl on Instagram I have a crush on, and she posted this picture, and then they gave me the, and then I started talking to her about the Cocktails and Dreams like logo, the neon logo.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I was applying for Fringe, but I had no idea what I was going to do, and I can't put the two together. I'm like, why don't I make a show about being a bartender and a comedian? Because I don't like talking about being a bartender on stage. I didn't like it because I thought, like, if you're paying money to come see me, you're seeing a professional comedian. He only does comedy. I don't want people to think I have to do something else too.
Yeah.
So, but this is what I know the best.
You're not a bartender.
Yeah, I'm just a comedian.
Yeah.
But it's still.
But if you're coming in and talk about bartending.
Yeah. So it's like the thing, like, I know the best because I've been working in restaurants my whole life.
Yeah.
I should just do a whole show on it. Then I would have like a bar on the stage. I had an old waiter uniform with like a vest.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a little stool. Yeah. So it's about being a comedian.
And you play around the bar.
Yeah. I can kind of go behind it. I would have drinks. And there's other props too, and have like music in the show. I made it a bit more than just stand up. There's a lot of like, it's a big stage too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I made a nice little production.
So how did you get there in the Fringe?
So you apply.
You apply.
There's a lottery and she picked me.
Okay, and you did six shows.
Yeah, so the first one was like, it was like almost like the open mic of the whole shows, because that was the first time I ever did it. The first time, so I'm like, I'm not worried about it.
So you
I knew it might be rough.
You come to yourself, but they, so you try.
Yeah, pretty much.
You try your show there.
So I did it in chunks, like 15 minutes, half an hour, never
I saw you. Hour. I saw you also doing before.
Yeah.
All the, you know, all the open mic.
Yeah, so I had like all those things, like the 7 minutes together, but I never did it one shot an hour until the first show. And it went well, but then it's slowly been improving. And the last show is way better than the first one.
But which one was the best for you?
Saturday. The Saturday that there was a sold out show, the one that just passed, but second to last show was the best.
So it was the fifth one?
Yeah.
Fifth one was the best.
Yeah.
Did you record it?
Yes, of course. I recorded them all.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
Are you proud?
Yeah, it was crazy. Saturday was an early show, like 6:15. I didn't think it was going to be full. I go to the green room, I come back up, and they open the door, it was packed. I mean,
wow.
How this happened, it's crazy.
So I want to know that about the feeling you have. Where is your biggest stress? Is it when you wake up and you know you have a big show? Is it during the day? Is it 1 hour before? Is it 5 minutes before you go on stage? Is it when you heard your name, or it's when you go on stage?
When I wake up, it's probably like the most, like, that's what I think about first. And almost like during the day, I try to calm myself, whatever, relax, don't stress about it, have fun, don't go crazy during the day, don't go like running around errands, and just try to be very like low key. But I feel like the closer I get, like when I'm driving to the show, then I'm really nervous, especially when it's like a big 1 hour show.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't no 1 hour. Act. Is it your first time you did that?
Yeah, first time doing like a full hour. Like my last one man show was 45 minutes with an opening act. This was no opening act, nobody, just me.
No entertaining, no music.
No, I have music, not, music to bring
I mean,
me
you know
up.
What I mean? It's you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right away.
Yeah, and like I have to clap, I have to clap for me, whatever, do it, the whole thing. But I feel like 2 minutes before the end of the show started, I'm like, I felt like invincible. I didn't feel nervous at all.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm like, time to go. But the closer I get to the show, the less nervous I get, I find.
So what is your goal for 2019? Did you have a, like, because me, what I like to do is, not real goal, but solid goal.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Like an attainable something,
Now, like, I want to pay my rent.
Yeah.
I would like to do a fest just for Love Gala.
Yeah.
I would like to headline in New York at the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The big, small, but concrete.
Yeah, of course.
What is your, for 2000, you said you want to move to Toronto?
Yeah, I would love to like start traveling more. And
traveling
like,
more.
And not like that, like I want to, when you move to a new town, like you kind of like lose momentum a little bit. Like people have to know me. I want to be able to like hopefully like keep this momentum I've built here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because me too, I was like here in Montreal.
Yeah.
I moved to Toronto, so I go back down.
Yeah.
I work hard. And after that, I came back to Montreal, you know,
yeah,
and after
course.
That, I moved to LA.
Yeah.
So
every time you move, you have to like build up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And you lost your fan base, by the way, and all the momentum there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
At the same time, you have to...
you have to change it up in for your own personal life, too. You know?
So Toronto, no girlfriend.
Nope.
So a real focus.
Just focus. Yeah. I'm like, I have three comedian friends that live like in my house. So if like, I would feel stupid if they all went out and I'm not performing, but they are, I'm like, I need to leave too. I shouldn't be here.
So is it your goal is like to play every night?
Yeah, I want to like perform. I want to be able to tour a little bit more.
Are you? You did 1 hour. Could you do 45 minutes in a club?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is an.
Yeah, I want to be able to do that too. Yeah. So now for the first time, I'm also hosting Absolute Comedy.
Yes.
The first week I get to no, not the first week in August. I'll be in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah. You told me.
So it's like hopefully it builds up some momentum. You know.
Yeah.
Looks good over there.
I want to be sure.
Yeah, bro, that.
Listen, it's raw, not perfect. Like I said, I prefer to take my time to go and watch if everything is there.
Yeah.
Imagine everything is gold and I did not record it.
Yeah, imagine that'd be funny.
That's really not funny. So, because the problem here, it's the Comedy Works burns.
Yeah, so I have to stay.
You don't have place to work anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just to... like you said, middle opener, spots, headlining, hosting.
Yeah.
So when you talk with a new guy, he said, "I would love to do comedy. I did 10 shows. What do you what do you suggest me? What do you say? Do you help each?"
I try to discourage
them?
No, never. But like sometimes they ask, I hate giving advice like on jokes sometimes and they ask me this, so I'm like, your joke is
you. Oh, no, me too.
Your joke is you, I can't take your joke, I can't
exactly.
help you.
And sometimes it's a real joke, I just joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your joke, why I will give you, man, I don't want to.
Yeah. But I tell them like you gotta do like this, you gotta be patient, you become like obsessed with it. If you wanna do it, like don't be afraid, it's coming. Like, there's a lot of guys that go to the Grumpies and like, they're too nervous to call like, the calm main ass. Like, no, you can do it, don't be afraid. You gotta do it. Yeah. Like, no, I need to practice the Grumpies or this room first, I need to go here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll do the nest, I'm too nervous. I mean, no, just go, email. Start emailing now.
Okay, so.
They become obsessed, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a mentor? Do you have somebody you enjoy to watch? Like,
oh, few.
And you, because you told me Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
But now, for now, who motivates you?
Definitely my buddy Massimo. Massimo, I love Massimo. He's the best.
It's funny because Massimo, when I started comedy in French in 2003, I had the opportunity to play at the Comedy Zone with Paul Ronca, remember?
Yeah.
And Massimo was always there. And it was the first who was kind with me, you know, because for me it was a monster, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I started to be friend with, and after that, when I started to do comedy in English, 2012, he was at the Comedy Works.
Yeah,
I said, oh my God, he was always kind with me, you know?
Yeah, he's so nice.
You know, it's fun. Mike Patterson, same thing,
yeah, of course,
you know, E-Man.
Yeah.
This is the people I grew up with.
Yeah, of course.
So who was there around you at the time? Like, who helped you? Guido Cocomelo.
Guido Cocomelo is the best.
Yeah. A great guy, superstar in LA.
Yeah, of course. Him and for sure my buddy Dave Merhege. He's the best.
Oh yeah, he's
the best. He would give me like good advice, life advice, comedy advice, and he's cool because like, he has like a Netflix special. But he's like my buddy that I can like talk to. But he's like all over the place. He's huge, but he's the most humble guy. He gives very good like advice on like even just your life and career and what to do and how to stay focused and don't show off too much. Don't tell everybody what you're doing and whatever.
You don't
stay grounded.
Yeah. You don't feel you not deserve to be here.
Yeah.
The fun part with comedy, it's like it's the only thing you're gonna be able to be superstar at the same place, because it's impossible to be bantam or peewee or midget and play with Crosby.
Yeah,
but
you're mixing with everybody.
You start and you play with the best, you know.
Yeah,
and this and you learn so fast.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes people pretend, you know, the new comic. They think because they play with the best, they are at the same level.
Yeah.
And sometimes like, no, calm down. You feel that sometimes?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes you get a bit of...
They are cocky, like, you know,
strange people.
Good luck tomorrow. You have to kill every night.
Yeah, totally. You get like these strange people sometimes that are like, they're doing comedy, they're not really comedians. They're like...
The poser.
Yeah, poser is sometimes a bit crazy too.
Yeah. You know? So what do you hate the most in the world of comedy?
I hate... when you're hanging out at the back of a comedy club or a bar show and there's like a few guys, maybe they're doing it 2 years, 3 years, and they're sitting there judging what this person's doing wrong on stage, or they need to do this, or they're doing that joke again, and like, shut up. You know, like, because that's like a true sign that you're not a professional comedian, because no professional, the guy's been doing it 20 years, is going to sit in the back of the room and judge everybody, maybe to himself.
Yeah.
But to be that, I hate that, that's like...
Yeah. It's the... You know what? No matter who is on stage and bomb or not funny, you have to respect.
Yeah.
Because he tried.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's always like the guys that like...
The step to go on stage is the most difficult.
Yeah, of course.
Okay? Nobody understand that. Yeah. And you know what? When I saw people bashing on other, I said, hey, it's your turn, man.
Yeah.
And they go on stage and they don't understand like the I always, you know the metaphor, I remember when the first time you fight with someone?
Yeah.
When you start to fight, you realize, oh my God, I saw black. You start to be dizzy and you don't understand why.
Exactly.
Because you have emotion, you have adrenaline arrive, you know?
Of course.
And they understand only when they arrive on stage. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a lot of guys like that.
They're the best.
Never came back.
Of course.
So do you say shut up to them or what?
Or no, like, so I hate when they come up or they try to talk to me, they involve me in it, I just kind of go, like, I don't say anything, like, yeah, cool, whatever, try to be quiet, I say nothing. Some people I would tell them to maybe, but I'm trying to mind my own business, I just want to focus on my jokes, but when they have that kind of energy, I'm like, I don't need to talk to you before the show, leave me alone, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I kind of started smoking cigarettes, so I can, like, you know, I'll be right back, go have a cigarette outside.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Are you a jealous guy with other comics? Did you ever be jealous about?
Yeah, of course it's natural to be jealous. Like, why didn't I get this showcase or that? But I'm never mad. I don't know. It's like, that's your thing. I know where I am in my life. It's because when you start, you're like, everyone's at the same level, and then eventually you kind of go your different ways, and everyone's different.
So you don't think you deserve a just for laugh or something a just for laugh? You don't think. You're not pissed off if you don't have that.
No, I mean, like, I get it. Like, if I see, like, sometimes, I get a bit jealous if, like, I didn't get a Just for Laughs audition, but this person that did it for 2 years did, like, but that's their own...
It's normal.
The initial reaction, I try to, like...
That's
nothing to do with it.
So, if you don't make a Just for Laughs every year, you're not mad?
No.
It's not your goal.
No. Well, I would like to be there for sure.
It's fun, but it's not your ultimate goal.
I'm not gonna
dream about
if
that.
If I like stress about it and waste time, just a waste of time. I'm not gonna, nothing's gonna happen. It's better for me to keep writing jokes for next year than to get mad and, you know. But,
did you have an audition this year?
No, I did not. But I got lucky, the lovely Sophia from Just for Laughs came to watch my Fringe show. It's on the whole hour.
No way.
Yeah, so that's way better than just 5 minutes.
Maybe you're going to have a call. You don't know.
Hopefully. That'd be nice.
Maybe you can do the Zoo Fest.
I would love it, yeah.
Of the festival or maybe an outdoor. Did you ever do an outdoor fest?
No. After, no. No, I would love to.
It's not the same thing, huh?
Yeah,
for sure. The laugh don't come back.
No. it evaporates, There's no roof. Yeah, for sure. I did once an outdoor show. I did a show for Brazzers.com, the porn site.
No way.
Me and Ali Hassan. And then I was like a year in, and I thought it was good.
Ali Hassan's a good guy.
Yeah, he's the best. So yeah. Like Ali Hassan had to headline and host the event. I had to go on stage after someone that was playing the bongos. It was weird. In the middle of the day, and then I got in trouble for being too dirty.
No.
At Brazzers.com.
No way.
At Brazzers.com.
Do you talk about that on stage?
I should. That
no, that's it. It's funny.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving us a joke.
Yeah.
Too dirty for that.
Yeah, oh, like, give me a letter. Yeah, Ali Hassan. Ali Hassan told me after. Yeah, he was very mad at me.
No way.
I'm like, man, there, that is it's porn. It's oldtwisties.com and yeah. Milfs like it big.
Oh, my God.
I was too dirty.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to, you let me think about something. I work in a club video,
yeah.
A video club, you know, like Blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember when the guy hired me, he said, it's very easy, okay? All the name in English,
yeah.
it's porn movie,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, so everything is in French because it was in Trois-Rivières,
okay,
the city, in French. So I worked like that, you know? And a lady arrived and she gave me the movie, and I saw she have a movie, a late movie,
yeah.
Like in Avatar.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I said, oh, you have a...
A late movie, yeah.
I know, you have to pay because...
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She said, what is this? And I said, I don't want to say it loud because, you know, it's a porn movie. Uh-huh. And she said, I don't rent porn movie.
Uh-huh.
I said, maybe it's your other personality. And she was not happy.
Yeah, of course not.
Because, and so, but you know.
That's funny, yeah.
I mean, I'm a comedian,
yeah.
But I'm not a comedian. I work in a club video, you know. And this is all the mistake we made sometime.
Yeah, of course.
So I give the movie, and my boss, he called me, and he fired me outside. He said, You insult the lady.
Yeah.
You said she read an adult movie.
Yeah.
I said, yes, it's in English.
Huh.
And he said, oh, okay, I forgot to tell you, kids' movie is in English. You know? So he unfired me.
Yeah, of course, it's his fault. Yeah.
I said, it's not my fault. It was like two cop, two kid cop, I don't know what it was.
It was a cop and a half.
Something like that. It was a weird title, too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's weird, like how it's fun. We are comedian, okay, and sometimes we have a joke pass and we don't take it. Like now,
story, yeah.
This your story.
Yeah, about being too dirty.
You have to go on to tell.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it tonight at Grumpy's. Yeah, see. Yeah, we'll do it there.
Yeah, yesterday I did a show. I lost my phone, man.
Oh man,
it's my life. Look, I lost my phone.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling, and I have a show. So I said I lost my phone. You know the feeling when you lost your phone,
kind of,
like you forgot the baby on the top of the car.
Yeah,
you know the feeling.
Yeah, you're like
It's my life was done.
Yeah, for sure. Panic.
Just a phone.
I can't leave my house. Yeah.
Exactly. So I wrote that. I'm gonna try it. And if it doesn't work, but this is comedy.
Of course. It's a certain life. You grab it from everywhere.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's funny. Why I don't do it? You know? Because how long do you? Did you do the
Fringe?
No, the porn...
The porn show. That was like 5 years ago.
5 years ago, you had this joke.
6 years
there,
ago, a long time
on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
Dying, like, let me try.
Yeah, like I didn't think about it. It's true, yeah.
It's so funny, man.
Yeah, because I remember like feeling bad, like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in trouble. Like, and then I didn't just push it out of my mind. Yeah. But not only that, maybe you're right.
And you know what? In your set on stage, tell the joke you did there.
I should.
You know? Tell the story.
Yeah.
Tell the joke.
Yeah.
Why are they are so mad about that when they it's a point of the
so
award?
Funny. It was crazy.
What is your best show ever you remember?
There's two that I really liked. There's one where I got to do a show for a fundraiser, but it was like 2,500 people in a big hall. So it was like a lot of people.
In Montreal?
Yeah, it was in Ville Saint Laurent. And also, I think the best show so far was my show last Saturday. My last second one-man show.
Because you start to zero, and the fifth show was a hit.
Yeah.
The sixth one was?
No, it was good too, but it got a smaller crowd.
Because you surprised.
Yeah.
That six was jumping.
Yeah, yeah, the fact it was sold out kind of made it more. But they're both very good. The last two shows were perfect. But I think I enjoyed more the Saturday show because the laughter was just more. There's packed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the first time that like I sold out the room. sometimes when we do comedy shows in Montreal, like, it's like a lot of friends and family.
Yeah.
I only knew like a handful of people. The rest were all strangers.
And don't forget, the street was closed.
Yeah, exactly. That too.
So when the street is closed, nobody can park on Saint-Laurent.
Yeah, so people still came. I'm like,
wow. So, and why the corporate, what the fundraiser? You said it was 2,000 people, but
yeah,
why?
It was just like the first time where like I get on stage and it was like a sea of people and like it was like a loud laughter. And at that point, like I was before a show, I wouldn't get too nervous. I remember this show, I was like a bit nervous because a lot of people.
But the feeling,
it's
magical.
Yeah, when it's working, and it's like it was an older crowd, because fundraiser is always an older crowd, and maybe my jokes won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll be too dirty again, who knows. But
you're not a dirty guy.
No, I don't think so. Maybe at the beginning.
An adult.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at the beginning, I was definitely more dirty.
Yeah, we all start dirty.
Because you don't know what to say.
Yeah,
how
it's like, yeah, yesterday I shit on my pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We all start like that.
Yeah.
But and remember your worst ever. Yeah. Oh, you said to yourself, I'm done with that.
Yeah,
5 seconds. You know,
like. I did a show once. It was funny. It was Vito Cucamello, Massimo, and my friend Patrick Akeem, the four of us.
Okay.
So we did a show, and we rented Comedy Works on Sundays, because every Sunday, you can rent the Comedy Works from Jimbo. You play a flat rate, and you keep the door, and we make a deal. So we booked the show a few months in advance, and this is my first real time with Bibi. It was like a year and a half into doing comedy. It was my first time doing 20 minutes. And at that point, you only do like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, five minutes. So I'm like, yeah, I have like a few of them, I'll put them together, and whatever happens, happens. So out of the four of us, I was the worst one, so I'm up first. And I get on stage, and then like the first joke doesn't go so well. The second joke doesn't go so well. And as I'm on stage, I see Sugar Sammy walk in.
No way.
And now the third joke, I bombs. A lady starts heckling me. I never really had a heckler before. And this is the fact that I see Sugar Sammy like watching me. I'm like panicking, getting all nervous.
Yeah.
And there was just like another 15 minutes. And then I think I got off stage early. I'm like, guys, I'm done.
But if Sugar Sammy is not there, is it the same story?
Yeah. I would have bombed no matter what.
But Sugar Sammy, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't want him to see. I don't want him to
first
see.
First impression.
Exactly.
Did you talk to him after?
Yeah, I talked to him a few times here and there, but it's the first time you ever saw me before. It went so bad. I'm like, he's never going to talk to me again.
Oh, no.
No, he's super nice. I talked to him here and
there. No, he's a nice guy.
He's a super nice guy. No, but I didn't want him to see that. Like, yeah.
Sugar Sammy. If you don't know Sugar Sammy, this is a great story.
Yeah.
Because this guy, he worked hard, you know. He worked very hard, you know.
Yeah.
And he could quit, and everybody will understand. He said, no, I will not quit.
And now,
look at that.
It's crazy.
He sold out Quebec.
Yeah.
He sold out Canada. Now he's in France.
Yeah.
Come on. He toured the U.S.
Yes, he's crazy.
He played outside of the... what is the... I'm not going to remember the place. It's Mumbai? Is it Mumbai?
Maybe, I don't know. Mumbai? Yeah, or Dubai?
Dubai.
Dubai. He went to Dubai. Yeah, with Dubai.
You know?
Yeah.
So you saw him arrive.
Yeah.
The pressure.
Yeah.
Because you are always admire him.
Yeah, before. And then like when you're on stage with Comedy Works, you can't really, sometimes the light hits anything, but you can see the bar.
Yeah.
So I see the comedians, I see Massimo's face, Guido's face, they're like, I'm bombing. And now Sugar Sammy's are hanging out.
did you stay in the room or you get outside and you vomit?
No, I remember like I remember like walking to the back, hang at the bar, just deflated. Like
you said, I'm done.
Almost, man. I don't know what to do. Like this was a test. Like, I couldn't do it. I remember my ex girlfriend. She made me try to make me feel better. Like I thought maybe okay, that was a nice try. Good year and a half.
Did you realize you took seriously the job after
that? Yeah, I'm like, okay, now I know. Because I wasn't prepared.
Because you are with your friend.
Yeah.
So no stress.
No, that's like I never really did 20 minutes before. I didn't know how to structure it. I thought I'd just...
Yeah, but after three jokes, you bombed.
Yeah.
Who cares if it was fine?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think after 5 minutes, I was done for.
Yeah.
Then I stood there drenched, soaked, and I was so sweaty, wearing like a nice dress shirt. it was like bright, bright blue.
I'm like, how long did you come back on stage after that?
Maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, it's long.
A week.
It's long.
Because after that, like I took off.
Oh, it's long.
And then, but there was no other shows. I had to wait till the next Monday.
Go to Sears, take a mic.
Yeah.
This new Jeep.
Yeah.
to fuck me.
Yeah.
Because 2 weeks, with that in your head.
Because it was like,
it's not just it's your life. It's your 2 weeks every day.
You're thinking about
it. You do something. You eat. You're thinking about it.
Oh yeah.
All those sugar side me, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You sleep. You wake up. Sugar side me everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you tell him?
No, I don't think I ever told him.
You never said, "Hey, by the way, you're one of the reasons why I'm better at
comedy." Yeah, exactly. I should.
Because it's him.
I want him to see me again, because I don't think he's ever seen me since then.
Yeah, yeah. Me, I saw you 2 years ago, remember, at the Yak Yak?
Yeah, more than
Mekai.
Yeah.
Remember the Yak Yak Mekai René Lévesque?
Yeah, of course. It was at the old privateer.
And you did well, man.
Yeah.
You were very like Pinot Canada.
Yeah, of course.
I always saw you chill.
Yeah.
Always. Cool.
Yeah.
And this is your style, you know?
Yeah, just be like, calm down.
You're huggable, lovable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look, you have always a smile on your face.
Yeah, but that's also from bartending, I think. Because when you bartend,
you
have to be cool behind the bar, you know, like it's busy, you're full of adrenaline, you always like look cool.
Yeah.
And after like the few times, you bombed a few times. Like, one time I bombed in front of my high school like drama teacher for an hour. So,
for an hour?
My first one-man show ever, like, was 5 years ago at the Fringe Festival. And she came to like a matinee show. And it went bad. It went so bad. And after that too, I'm like, okay, my life is not over. I'm still alive. I'm still awake. I'm here. I'm still... Who cares?
And you know what? We have... And nobody remember anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway, you're just you.
Yeah.
All my bomb, I remember.
Yeah, of course.
I have a lot.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not scared to do that, to tell you that. When did you bomb last week? Did you bomb last week?
No, last week was good. All the Fringe festivals have been good. The only was one show was during the Raptors finals.
Okay.
So there's only four people in the crowd.
No.
So I'm like, do I still do it?
You did 1 hour in front of four people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Myself. I talked to the technician. I'm like, man, do we still do this? Because it's a Raptors game. I don't blame them. Like, it was a late show. It started at 10 o'clock. No,
four people pay?
Yeah, no,
it was free?
So two of them were my friends. So only two people paid to get in. It was a couple. And as they're buying the ticket, I come out and go, sorry, guys, I think I might just cancel. You're the only people here. I really appreciate it. I'll if you want, you can come to the next show free, whatever, don't worry about it. And they're like, no.
We want a free sound.
Yeah, we want, maybe. I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Give me $24 and free some perfect.
Let's do it.
But they were super into it, and at that show, like, because it was less pressure, it was like amazing, and that kind of even made the next
less pressure.
Yeah, because there's four people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, it doesn't have
to. But did you talk to them?
Yeah, I talked a little bit to them.
Oh, you do your stuff.
I did the show, but then I kind of talked to them, asked them what their names were, because it's only two people.
Yeah, it's
two weird. People. My friend Mike Mayo, who's the host of my first show, he came to watch me. And it went super well, and they made me a bit more easy.
Standing ovation.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I got standing ovation for people. Four people stand up, it's 100%.
Man, I did a show from nobody, okay?
Yeah.
Listen, my agent booked me in a ski place.
Yeah.
I went there, nobody. Nobody.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to take the check. And the guy said, no, you have to play if you want the check. I said, nobody's there.
Yeah.
But the guy, so I called my agent, he never called me back. So I have two choices.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No money, go home. Or I said, fuck you, man. So I went on stage, did my best show ever.
Yeah.
The chair moved like that. And the guy, he passed all the time. Like, he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you, man. You think I'm going to, you want to play with me?
Yeah,
I'm going to play with you, man. So he gave me my check. He said, "You're good." I said, "Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks,
I'm
man.
A pro."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
because it's not easy. Now we have fun. We talk about that.
Yeah.
But I was there alone, like, what?
The bartender, nobody.
1 hour waitress, alone on stage. No, nobody, man. Just him pass with the check in
not
his hand.
Not even a waiter. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh my God.
Maybe a guy who whoops.
Yeah.
No, come here.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it's comedy. No matter what.
It's part of the journey.
No matter, you will never impress me or try to bullying me, you know?
Of course not.
Because if my agent, I'm sure I would talk. I would say, talk to my agent, you know?
Yeah.
That's funny. But then, So you did front of two
people. Two people and then my two friends. And then a bartender and the technician. So six.
Six?
Yeah.
And all they liked the show.
They loved it, yeah.
Because you know what? Maybe it's a guy who's enough rich He said, you know what? I'm going to produce your show. You never know. It's rare because this phrase is more in LA.
Yeah.
You never know
who's
going to be on the ground.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, the technician after the show, he's like, hey, man, that was their best show. They're like, yeah, I think so.
They paid.
Yeah. It was super fun.
Wow, man. You have to understand, it's not easy to play in front of two people, but it's not easy to be two people and watch the guy.
But they were nice. They were into it. They're laughing. They're supportive. They're clapping, paying attention.
They could say, we're going to
go. Yeah, it's awkward. That's why I told them, like, if you don't want, it's fine.
Wow.
I'll treat you to the next one. But they're like, no, we want to watch you.
So this was the fourth show?
Yeah.
So the fifth one
was amazing.
Because you what's wrong could be more.
Yeah. And it was good. Like the two people, I got to like maybe stretch out, try a little.
Yeah, and
stuff.
You look, it's jam packed.
Yeah, I know that with two people, it's only they laugh quickly. So like you have to put more jokes because 200 people laugh takes a bit longer. So to fill that time, I had to do a bit more stuff, and I got to like experiment.
Yeah.
So that was almost like an open mic version of the 1 hour show where I can like fool around.
And know the difference between you and somebody who cheat because a lot of comics cheat.
Yeah.
You could cancel easily.
Yeah.
You said no.
Yeah.
And the reason why you did not cancel is why you killed the day after.
Exactly.
And this is comedy.
Yeah, thank God I did that.
This is why we are I'm so grateful you're here to tell us that.
Thanks, man.
Because
of course.
Because trust me.
Yeah.
Me, if I was a new comedian or a 1 year, 2 year, I had a struggle, you know, I would love to watch this podcast
that we
and
know
learn about
that. That's why I try to help.
Me at the time, impossible to know what is behind comedy.
Yeah,
I just saw comedian kill it just for laugh.
And that's it, yeah.
Good luck, I don't know.
Working.
Exactly, the process.
Yeah.
People, you know, the process.
Totally.
And it's not done.
I'm still going. Like, not even.
You just start.
Pretty much. You know, now I know what I'm doing. Now it's time to like really get going. Yeah.
Exactly. So, are you a guy who drank before to go on stage?
No, I try not to anymore. I try like now with the Fringe Festival because like I like to party, I like to drink, but like if I don't have a big show the next day, I'm not even gonna drink the night before. I don't want to be hungover.
Do you think it's cheating?
No, I mean
because you're less shy.
No.
You're more, I don't care.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's not cheating, but like I get it if you need it. At first, I would always have like two.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But now,
when I start an English, to paint.
Of course. I also like to drink after the show. It helps.
Yeah, no, it's not
for the social part. Yes. Yeah.
No, it's not, this is, it's.
Yeah, but before.
No, before.
No.
No, never.
Not anymore. I don't feel, like I might screw up. I'd rather be sharp.
Yeah, because we did the show last week. At the Blue Dog, it was outside.
Yeah,
just people passed.
Yeah,
and I said, why am I doing that?
Yeah,
I said because it's a show.
Yeah, and if you can get people to stop, and then it's even better. That's like a standing ovation.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I did that. I think we did today. And everything was great.
It was amazing. I love
that. I said
show.
Why? And I need to say to myself.
Yeah.
Stop to pretend, you know, you don't deserve to be there. It's not for you. You're here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the ego,
of course,
it's so strong.
Yeah, man.
And in this business,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And
yeah.
When you understand, like the ego, take your ego.
Yeah, of course.
We don't need ego.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
It's not helpful. Yeah.
It's always the reverse. Every time my ego said, "Don't do that," I said, "Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it."
Yeah, of course.
You know? Because the worst enemy is.
Yourself.
Exactly.
Totally.
And it's not the other one.
No.
So
yeah, you get yourself worked up.
Yeah, it's always negative, you know?
Yeah,
it's always like, why you do that? You're a pro. You don't deserve that. It's like, fuck you, man. Nothing.
Sure.
I just want to be happy and practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Practice, man.
Yeah. You need to always perform. There was a few Mondays ago where I got to like do a show, the 7 minutes, and go headline that Blue Dog, half an hour, a lot of people. And then I went to McKibben's after. And bombed. I knew it was gonna bomb, but like it was on purpose. That way, like I can like calm down for the other show and be back to normal.
For people who don't know what this McKibben, it's like you play in front of people who don't care. So you have music, and you have people talk loud.
Yeah, they're there for
and you like that.
It's like you show up and like comedy's like happening on them. Sneak attack.
Yeah.
So I like doing those. That way you can like realize, okay, calm down.
Yeah. You gonna miss Montreal?
I think so. Now, especially now that I'm doing so many shows, I'm gonna show you.
Yeah,
because I'm building momentum. Like I want to be able to like come back and forth a lot.
Yeah, it's 5 hours.
Yeah, I have my car. Like you leave at breakfast, you're here at lunch, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to just go to Toronto and sit here. I want to be able to come back. You see me every 2 weeks. Do a show here, do this room, that show, do this weekend, you know.
Do you, because we are at Peroni restaurant downtown now. Yeah. Did you play here?
I've never played here, no. I'd love to.
You never played there?
No, never.
Trust me, man.
Yeah.
This is comparable at a real comedy club.
Yeah, for sure.
It's fun.
I would love to.
It's touristic.
Yeah, you know,
it's, of course.
It's not just local.
It's forced you to get understood, like me, because me, I have a big accent, and they don't often have the reference.
Yeah.
You should talk to Ali. Ali, you know Ali?
Yeah, of course.
So before you go,
because
this is...
You want to come back?
Yeah, it's every Saturday, sometimes it's Friday. Last Thursday, they invite, 2 weeks ago, 4 New York guys.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
It was great, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's so, you go tomorrow, you said?
Yeah, I'm going. So tomorrow, I'm doing a little tour. I'm doing Kingston, Ontario.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Absolute.
Yeah, doing Absolute Kingston, and then a
week. How many show there?
It's four. Wednesday to Saturday.
Okay, so tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, for show, it's fun, man.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why I miss about a comedy club here in Montreal.
Yeah, it's cool. You get to go. They put you in a house around the corner. From
yes.
The, so you have to live in a house. And then from there, I go to Toronto.
And you stay there for how long?
A week or two. And then actually coming back to go to Ottawa, doing like 10 days in Ottawa.
Okay, about local...
No, doing an Absolute.
Absolute again.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll come back here, if it's close, I can come back. Actually, I do have to come back. I have to get a U-Haul to bring my mattress. Okay. I still have to move, so I have to come back.
And the mattress move a lot, huh?
Yeah, of course. Big time, all the time. That's the most expensive thing I have.
Moving it. And you said you're going to come back to Just for Laughs.
I'll maybe for sure come to visit.
What do you like about Just for Laughs?
The best is hanging out at the Hyatt. You go to the Hyatt, you go on the balcony.
You can see all the pro.
Yeah.
Last year I saw Russell Peter. I saw Barry Katz.
Oh, that's cool.
The manager. Yeah, I'm going to try to interview him. This is one of my goals.
He's the best.
The BS with... BS.
No BS with SB?
No BS with SB.
There you go.
Which one?
I saw Doug Benson. I smoked a joint with Doug Benson.
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Well, he was walking by. We were smoking joints. No, he kept in the circle. We had a few puffs and kept walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's fun, eh?
Yeah.
To be part of that.
Yeah.
I think it's the... It's Comedy Pro.
Yeah, of course.
We can, like...
Yeah.
Interview... About the marketing,
talk about the industry. Yeah,
that's cool. Industry of comedy.
That's cool. The press conference.
Every year I'm there.
It's nice to be around.
You feel like you're somewhere.
Yeah.
Because comedy is always alone. We're always alone. You know?
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
always like, yesterday doesn't. It's the next show is good.
Yeah.
Yesterday I killed, but it's done.
That's exactly it. That's how I feel about the festival. That's done. Now I have to go to Grumpy's tonight.
Yeah.
Start over.
Oh yeah, Grumpy's tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm doing the ethnic show
at
the bootleg. Did you there?
I've never done that either, actually.
It's fun.
Maybe I'll come by tonight and go to Grumpy's after.
Yeah. So, hey man, did you enjoy, guy?
I had a blast.
John Bananas.
Come on, of course.
Was on shape, on fire. Very generous.
Thank you.
I always like to do that before when we stop to do the maybe you want to talk more. I don't know if you have something else you want to talk.
I have to check my parking. I want to see my parking.
Oh no.
No, we
should. Are you going to fight again?
I imagine.
But it's good because you have to go to Toronto.
We've got 20 minutes. We're good to go.
Okay. Yeah. You have still 20 minutes?
I can stay as long as you want. I just have 20 minutes parking left.
Oh, where did you park?
On Mansfield. We should plug. You should get the app as a sponsor. You know, should get sponsored by the Montreal Party app with this ad.
Okay, this is the question.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you think the Expo are back?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe they're going to come. Like, is that a thing? Is that going to happen?
Yeah. They talk about to build the stadium.
Oh, really?
Old Port.
Oh, really? Peel. They're going to build a new stadium.
No.
Yeah, that'd be nice, though. More stuff to do. Because now that Toronto Maple Leafs got better. And like the
and they're going to be in the same league?
Yeah.
They're going to be with the Yankees, Boston, Blue Jays, Expo.
That'd be nice.
Do you like baseball?
So when I lived in Toronto, at one point, the Blue Jays were near the finals. That's, I got excited.
I saw like 30 games easily.
Really? Yeah. I've never been there. I went to the Expos, but I was like maybe 10 years.
The Olympic Stadium, because the concept for people who don't know, Tampa Bay struggle and Oakland struggle. Yeah. So maybe they're gonna move the team here, or it's gonna be a new franchise.
Yeah.
A new they want 32 team. They have 30 team, and it's not like a project like the Nordic. Quebec. It's serious.
Yeah.
We lost the Expo in 2004, but now the market is not the same because at the time. It's the team who struggle. Now the league share the money to get, you know.
Oh yeah, makes sense. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, that makes sense.
And with the television, right? You say but why Tampa Bay struggle? It's because the problem is the guy at Tampa Bay, the owner, want a new building, and the city don't want that.
Yeah.
So they come and also menace.
Yeah.
The menace. Yeah. They
harass you.
If you don't give me a new building, we're gonna move. You know, it's a movement. Who cares?
Yeah.
So are you? Because me, I stopped loving baseball because of
when they we leave because you can't go to the game.
I was sad, man. You know, I have a broke, broken heart. You know,
Of course.
But now I think they're gonna come back because I.
That'd be cool.
But are you a guy? If you knew we have a thing, you're gonna go there?
I would go for sure, especially at the beginning. It's gonna be exciting.
Outside, a beer, hot dogs.
Like, how big is the stadium gonna be? Like, how many seats?
30,000. It's small. It's not to be 50. Like, they got the concept. They said that they're gonna move the team like maybe 2 years at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
The time they rebuild the stadium.
Yeah.
But think about that, because people say baseball suck. First, baseball is the best for a long time now.
Yeah.
Secondly, you don't go see a baseball game. You go sit there
for the experience,
chill.
Yeah, of course.
Outside, music.
Yeah. But who pays for the team?
It's $20 ticket.
Yeah, but who pays for the building? Is it the Quebec government?
I think it's going to be private. Mixed. Okay. I think it's going to be mixed. Yeah, it's not about are you willing to pay.
Yeah.
And anyway, every time I heard that, how many things they do we don't know, and it's our money. You know.
Yeah, of course.
Me, I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about the passion.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Because maybe your heart is broke too, and you don't know that. It's why you don't like baseball. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I remember watching,
because you're gonna come back at the podcast.
Yeah.
So go see a baseball game at the Blue Jays this summer.
I will definitely.
They open the roof.
Yes, beautiful.
A beer.
Yeah.
Chill.
Oh yeah.
Bubblehead.
It's the best. I stayed there. I rented an Airbnb once in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they could look into
exactly.
That is cool. Oh, so man, being there, I would love to go there.
Yeah. So, you think they're gonna come back? You think you want?
I would love
Do you
to, yeah.
want
That'd
a,
be cool.
a baseball team?
That would be cool. Why not? It would enhance everybody's, like, you know, love of Montreal.
It's family.
Yeah. And they get more.
It's cheap.
Yeah, get more people coming in to watch games.
Old Port?
Yeah, exactly. That's beautiful.
So, you're gonna miss Montreal?
Ah, for sure.
We're gonna miss you, Bob.
Oh, thanks, man. I miss you too, man.
Man, merci beaucoup, David. You found it all ici.
My pleasure.
Man, John Malana's guy.
You follow me on Instagram.
Yes.
Facebook. It's John J.
All the bio, all the link is gonna be in the description.
Of course, professional.
Yeah.
Best.
Okay, let's go in.
Let's go, man.
Oh, you want a Pina Colada?
Oh, love one.
All right.